morning. Today is Thursday, September the 28th. Joining us this morning, he hasn't broken anything yet this morning, from the California Highway Patrol, Sime. Good morning.
Good morning. It's early yet, Brian.
Yeah, I know.
We still got plenty of time ahead.
Give you a little bit more time, yeah. And you wrestled in a buddy this morning, huh?
Buddy, that's a pretty loose term.
Okay.
I don't know
an
about acquaintance? That. This is my friend, Officer Paul Kraft. He is another fellow CHP officer out of the Humboldt office. He's got a lot of experience from working at the academy to DTF. Drug Task Force.
Oh,
not that other
department of, yeah, you know, I was going all kinds of different possibles there.
Could have went anywhere, Brian.
You know, and I did, but I came back too. So
you were quick. You were quick.
I'm okay. Our quote this morning comes from Hippocrates: "To do nothing is sometimes a good remedy."
I love doing nothing.
Yeah, what's the song?
Are you going to sing a song?
No. I'm trying not to sing it. That's the issue. I love to work at nothing all day.
There you go.
The BTO song?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's my theme song.
Oh, really? Oh. Paul, you can substantiate that one?
I have sang it at karaoke for him a couple of times, yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah, no, I just opened another.
You guys are that close,
there.
Huh? That you.
We are.
I noticed the hairstyle resemblance. I didn't realize that you were twins also.
That's twins. I don't know if we want to mention how many years apart, but a couple.
Depends on what side of the equation you're on, doesn't it?
Yeah. Ask Paul.
So the Drug Task Force is kind of like a partnership of a bunch of different law enforcement entities in a community. Is that kind of a fair statement?
Yes, the Department of Justice used to run that here locally, and then when they left and pulled out, the Sheriff's Department took it over and runs it. So officers from the different law enforcement agencies here in Humboldt County are assigned to that office.
And this is one of those where CHP is permitted to be able to participate.
It is, yes. We've had an officer assigned to that unit since its inception here. So.
I know this is going to sound goofy, but hey, that's why people listen. What percentage of the drug captures in Humboldt County are taken in vehicle? Somebody gets pulled over, or something goes on. Not going out in the field, and you know, because I know that the scale is going to be wildly different because you know one plantation, and that's going to kind of win for the year, so to speak. As far as numbers of incidents, how many are in car?
You know, not working for every agency here or seeing their numbers, it's kind of hard to quantify. There are officers that go out and actively seek drugs and vehicles and are, I guess, more vigilant, maybe have a different background or understanding and able to recognize some indicators that there may be drugs in a vehicle. But for Drug Task Force, you know, a majority of it actually comes from investigations that just start from the ground up with tips and out pounding the pavement and looking for the activity.
How cool is it to work with other law enforcement entities?
It's eye-opening to say the least. You know, every department has their own background, their own policies and procedures, so it takes a little bit of work to get different officers from different agencies to work together. But it was a ton of fun. I got to luckily do a little bit of an extension there, 4.5 years, and working with the other officers from these agencies, it was a lot of fun. Made a lot of good friends from other departments, and it helped, I think, build relations between our department and the other agencies.
That's probably as much of a benefit as anything else, is getting to know so you can call Bob, bang, and you're off to the races. You're not going through protocol.
It helps in other investigations in any area because I could call someone in Fortuna, even Rio Del, and get some help. They know their areas and their communities better than we do typically being on the freeway. So it gives us an ability to kind of get into the communities and have access to information there that we may not have.
Does everybody recognize the same names? I mean, guys that Cy pulls over. Is the Drug Task Force pulling over for drugs or vice versa? I mean, guys at the Drug Task Force pops, Cy knows because he's had interactions, or, you know, the street guys have interactions with him. Not him specifically.
Personal.
We don't want to give away all the secrets. Jeez.
We have regular customers, yes.
and they cross lines.
Oh yeah, absolutely. People that tend to live in that sort of element and that sort of lifestyle are constantly breaking the law one way or another, whether it's speeding or violations to their vehicle mechanically. Then they also might dabble in the drug field as well.
You mean they're just not they're non-law abiders across the board?
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that. How that works.
Paul, were you ever concerned for personal safety? I mean, yeah, I know there's probably an adrenaline rush, but I wouldn't think too many folks are going to be that excited to be on that kind of a an assignment where there is that level of risk.
Sure. You know, I've actually been asked that before, and I've had to talk to my wife about it. She obviously had concerns about me doing something that presented us going up to a house where there's, you don't know what's on the other side of the door every time you go.
Trip wires, things like that.
Usually you're watching out for needles and other hazardous products inside the house. But I got to say, I feel more danger from a stop on the side of the freeway than I did going up to a door. And some of that comes from having been hit by a drunk driver years ago on the side of the freeway here locally. I found more anxiety being on the side of a road from a traffic stop than I did going up to a door.
Because the door is a more closed environment, so to speak, or you can kind of anticipate a little bit more.
I think so. Yeah. You also have other officers with you.
Oh, yeah, that thing. Imagine that.
You can share the stress.
Yeah, okay. And guys that know how to shoot guns, too.
Yes.
I mean, the combination of the both. It's
maybe.
Seven. Yeah, yeah. It's 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika Thunder Country 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action all season long. Brought to you on KINS in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Paul Kraft and Cy May from the California Highway Patrol Swamp Division. Paul, the concept with the Drug Task Force that you got that opportunity to serve on for a number of years, what are some of the misnomers that regular guy has about what you guys do or what you run into?
Probably the biggest one is... We would get probably multiple complaints in a day, sometimes dozens, and obviously that's where a lot of our information would come from, is tips from the community. And I guess probably that they expect or maybe sometimes think that something instantaneously happens, but we still have to develop a case. You have to go out and observe and see something with your own eyes and develop some probable cause to either serve a warrant or arrest someone for drug charges. So they may call back and find out why something hasn't been done, and it could take weeks, could take months even to develop a case, depending on how big it is.
Well, particularly, they've probably been exposed to it for a number of months, years, so they know what's going on. But for you guys to put something together that you can stand in front of the judge and say, this is...
Correct. The biggest thing is being able to stand in front of the judge and swear to something that is true. And get a warrant for that place or that person.
So you think that's the biggie?
One of the biggest things that I probably ran into while I was there. Probably another one maybe about the, marijuana obviously is big and I think is a huge part of this community. But it didn't really seem to be the biggest problem here right now. The meth and heroin is just out of control. And we've seen that from about every department here with their press releases and the crime that is presented to us in the media. It's obvious that has become an issue, and it's difficult to get a handle on that.
I was going to ask. I actually even had it written down here. The types of drugs that you run into were, I guess, I don't know, everybody knows the color of my neck. As sad as it is and how prevalent the marijuana is here and how taken for granted it is in our area, it's almost dismissed as not being a drug by large segments of the community. You know, it's just weed.
Sure.
Sure, you betcha. So if we exclude that, it seems like the heroin and the opioids are the things that are getting an awful lot of lip service at this point. Attention,
absolutely.
Focus, whatever. Does that mean that meth is now going out of vogue and it's cycling out?
Absolutely.
Or does that
not
mean that there's just more people doing more drugs and now there's more heroin being used in addition to the same level of meth and the same level of marijuana?
It definitely has not gone away. Meth is there. The heroin and opioid addiction, I think it's grown exponentially. Maybe that has something to do with society right now and trying to numb the pain of things, maybe?
Well, there's some areas that are out of the recession.
Yeah. it could be accessibility of some of the prescription drugs that are out there, and we'll find that becoming, I think, more of an epidemic as well.
You mentioned the prescription drugs, and I heard 3 or 4 years ago, and it didn't register because there was a lack of belief, little old naive me part, that kids would take their parents' prescription drugs.
Hmm.
That was the big thing that was going through the high school 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes.
When they say opioids, is that the area of abuse, or is it the folks going in for medical procedures getting whatever was prescribed and then extending those prescriptions? You know, is it the typical bad guy using the drugs, or is it the non-bad guy using these opioids that seem to be getting everybody's attention?
Well, it's both. I believe it's both. And then with the youth, what you're seeing is them getting, they're not obviously going out and getting the prescriptions themselves. That is an issue. And at Drug Task Force, I had the opportunity to do some drug awareness presentations with local schools and some of the local agencies that deal with youth. And that was one of the things we talk about, was the prescription drug abuse by the youth.
Because mom and dad still have to be getting the prescriptions filled, don't they, in order
yes.
for the kids to get the access.
And that's where they get them, is from the cabinets.
But wouldn't somebody paying attention at the pill shop? Well, you know, geez, you're burning through this a little bit quicker than what you ought to be.
You would hope so. You would hope so. And there try to be checks and balances in the medical community to prevent that from happening. Not always the case. There are ways around that. I'm not super familiar with the background on that and how it works, but there.
But that sounds like then the parent is almost becoming the drug pusher for the kid. I mean, if I got 10 pills and I take one a day for 3 days and they're gone.
Well, if a parent also has maybe an addiction problem to those pills, they may not really realize.
So it's a double compounding. Okay.
That could possibly be part of it. They might not realize that there's a couple pills missing here or there because they're so busy taking them.
Is one or two enough? Right. I mean, is that
depends on what it is that they're taking. And it may not be a regular thing. That could be you know, an occasional thing where the
Friday night
yeah.
party kind of deal.
Right. It's the weekend get down.
I guess. Somehow getting numbed up to me just doesn't sound like the way to do things.
I agree. I agree.
Hey, you gotta have a ton of stories. So now you're no longer part of?
No, I back to patrol in July and
okay.
shocked to the
so
system,
these are all fading memories now.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Cy May and Paul Kraft from the California Highway Patrol Arcata office. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Cy, you're still going to be ignored here for the rest of the show.
Brian, I wasn't even listening to what you were saying.
Oh, so. good.
Vice versa.
Then it is mutual. Just another show with Cy. So, Paul, the instructor stuff that you've done, how cool is that?
It's been a lot of fun. I had a great opportunity in the career I've had with the Highway Patrol so far. I got to work at the academy for a year. Some of that was in a training unit there for non-uniformed and like promoting sergeants and lieutenants. We coordinated the programs for those. But I also got to do a couple of temporary week to 2 week positions in our staff office when new cadets were coming in. In fact, Cy May and I met.
You were busting his chops?
Absolutely.
First time you met him?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh. It's very cool.
It's a good story.
Does that mean you've got it even?
What's that?
Does that mean you've got even
with him?
Yeah.
Nope.
Not yet, but it's a long plan. It's a 10-year plan. Trust me, he's going to get his.
Good. Yeah. So what part was he your teacher?
Okay. So this goes back all the way, Brian, to Hoopa. Okay, we're going to bring it full circle. So,
a young Cy May at the age of five. What?
Yeah. Young and innocent. Yeah. Okay, so I went to high school and was very good friends with Paul, one of Paul's in-laws, his sister-in-law. So she knew I was going to the CHP Academy. Young, bright-eyed, 21-year-old Cy May. Going to the big
bright
city.
And young. Bright. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm
right.
Trying to talk myself up. Don't.
We'll go with it.
Yeah, okay. Just roll with the punches. So, you know, I'm from Little Willow Creek in Hoopa, middle of nowhere. I'm going to the big city, Sacramento, CHP Academy. You know, I was excited. This was a big, big step in my life. So, a couple days into it, you know, it's all stressful. Staff officers are yelling and screaming at you, just like you see in the movies with the military. So, I'm standing in line to go to lunch. And out of the corner of my eye, I just see one of these staff officers come up to me with the Smokey the Bear cap on. And, you know, you can't look at him. You got to just stare straight ahead. And he starts yelling at me for no reason. I'm thinking, what did I do? All right, 3 days in, and I've already made enemies with one of these guys. Great. This career is going to be awesome. So he's asking me where I'm from, and I'm thinking, why does this guy care where I'm from? You know, Willow Creek. And he's just like, oh, I'll talk to you later. So I'm stressing out for the rest of the day. I'm nervous.
Planting the seed of doubt, huh?
Absolutely. Planting the seed, yeah, okay. No kidding. So I'm eating lunch in the cafeteria, and this is a little side shot. Eating lunch as fast as I can because they'll yell at you in there. I stab a tomato in my salad. You said seed. Seeds shoot all over my uniform, messes it completely up. So now I'm even more stressed out because I wipe it off, stains everywhere. You're supposed to look sharp. I'm not looking sharp or feeling sharp. So I go to class later. Sit down, and all I hear is, May, get back here. And I turn around, and one of these staff officers is in the back room. So I go back there, and I'm standing at attention, shaking, and...
And looking sharp.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. You know me, Brian. I don't look sharp. And I'm standing there, nervous as all heck, and the staff officer kind of lowers his voice. He says, do you recognize me? And I'm still not looking at him. I'm looking through him. And I said, no, sir. With my voice cracked, you know. And then he says, no, look at me. And I look at him, and he says, do you recognize me? I said, no. And he said, hey, I'm really good friends with so-and-so from Hoopa. I'm her brother-in-law. And so for me, my whole world was just like, what? I'm from Hoopa. This guy, you know, is related to one of my best friends. And it was just, he was messing with me. He knew I was going to be there. And that's how Paul
and I circled the drain
briefly. First met.
Yeah. Yeah. Little laundry break.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Yeah.
For the shirt.
Yeah.
And the reason I wonder if he recognized me, I actually got the opportunity. I worked for Hoopa Tribal Police for 2 years before I was hired by CHP. So I got to work in the valley for 2 years and had known this area, the community, a little bit before I came back up here. a few years ago. So I didn't know if he knew me or not from back there, if I had ever messed with him as a juvenile in the valley. So,
and that's where it all began.
Yeah. Well, I would think the connections like that are part and parcel of what makes any team really cool.
Most definitely.
You know, most of us, if we participate in any extracurricular, whether it's athletics or, I'm sure, band and choir and all that kind of stuff, that's what you miss when you're out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not the do oftentimes. It's the
practice.
It's the people. It's hanging out in the locker room after practice. Those types of things where stuff comes together.
100%.
Absolutely.
So do you ever see him at family reunions, Si?
Who's that?
Him.
Him?
Yeah.
Yes, I went to his sister-in-law's wedding a couple years ago and birthday just a few weeks back.
Wait a minute. You had cake in the room and you didn't take a full opportunity to get even?
I told you, I've got a plan, Brian. I don't want to reveal that here and now.
It better be a written plan, otherwise.
Oh, I've got it. We'll come back in a couple years. We'll break it all.
All right. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:41.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Si May and Paul Kraft from the California Highway Patrol. Guys, either with the training that goes on or with the concept, I guess this is the free ad for Si. It really kind of hacks me off. I'm even thinking this way. What are the things that, not what you look for in somebody who's going to be successful to go through the academy, even if it's gullibility, but what are the things that if they're not there, should eliminate somebody from even considering a career in law enforcement?
Personality traits? Is that what you're asking?
Oh, attitude? Traits? Genetics?
There are a number of different requirements that the Highway Patrol has for potential applicants. Obviously, a clean background is one. You know, no felony convictions. But the Highway Patrol, we like to have people from many different walks of life. We want to have people with a lot of different diversity brought to the Highway Patrol so they can bring all their different experiences that they've had over their life to the department. That just makes it a much richer place to work and allows the department to relate and serve the people of California much better. So we're not necessarily looking for one specific type of person. I mean, obviously, we want somebody who works hard, is honorable, is willing to go out there and possibly sacrifice themselves, lay down their life in the service of the public. But we want people from all over the world, different walks of life, different ages, to come and bring their experiences to us. So it's kind of hard to give you certain specifics.
Well, or the flip side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not necessarily what you want, but what don't you want? You said felony.
Right. Anybody with felony convictions, anybody with any sort of past history of extensive drug use. You know, and we realize that people dabble as they're young, you know, high school, maybe college age. But if you're looking for a career in law enforcement or CHP specifically, you better have left that in your past a long time ago. Have many years in between the last time you were partying and doing some illegal activities, and now that you want to join the CHP, you better have turned your life around and changed the way you look at things. So that's just one of the.
When you guys do the backgrounding, and Paul, you probably see the residuals of this too. Let's say if somebody comes from an abusive home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, does that make them more sympathetic as a cop to some of the folks that you run into in some of the situations? Or on the flip side, does that make them more likely to act outside the boundaries and we have the renegade?
It could go case by case, really.
Yeah. I think what you're going to see is that's vetted out during the background interviews, because our background investigators spend a lot of time with the applicants. And they have conversations with them. They don't just look into the background. They have conversations with them and talk to them. And you'll find that different people go different ways. That may affect someone to where they want to go out and make a difference and not let that happen to other people.
Kind of be their personal motivator.
Correct. The other side of that may be that they are just so beaten down by it that they can't recover from it, or they're having problems recovering from it, and they make poor decisions from that point on.
It kind of sounds like that would be something that would also occur after a traumatic event.
Yes.
It definitely could.
Sit down, and whether it's called debriefing or sitting with a shrink or whatever, I'm sure there's a cute little phrase that you guys have that we don't want to share about making sure somebody's, you know, they're okay, they're balanced.
Those moments are crossroads, and that's where people, their psyche determines whether they move forward or fall back.
Thanks for coming by, guys.
Yep.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
See everybody tomorrow.